House State Affairs will come to order. It's now 3:08. Present Vice Chair, Representative Navar, and Representative Jenkins, Representative Cato, and Chair Hurley. On the agenda today, we have House Bill 647, an act establishing requirements for warning placards and for municipal reporting programs for hazardous materials and hazardous waste. I'm the prime sponsor of this legislation. With your indulgence, I'll speak to you from here rather than go to the other end of the table. This afternoon's calendar, we have House Bill 647, the so-called Community Right to Know Bill. These remarks are in your packet, along with several other items. I appreciate the opportunity to bring this issue before you and feel it is an invaluable step toward protecting Alaskans from exposure to hazardous chemicals. As you may or may not be aware, community right to know laws give firefighters, emergency responders, health professionals, elected officials, and the public the right to know the existence, location, and potential dangers of hazardous chemicals being used, stored, or produced in their communities. House Bill 647 provides communities across Alaska with guidance and structure in addressing the health and safety dangers posed by hazardous substances. This legislation was introduced in response to recommendations made by municipal officials. That includes the Municipal League itself, the Alaska Medical Association, the Alaska Public Health Association, and the Alaska Health Project, that a statewide framework be established under which municipalities could directly collect this critical information and develop procedures to effectively monitor the type, quantity, and location of hazardous substances within their boundaries and service districts. In summary, House Bill 647 basically accomplishes two things: enables Alaskan municipalities to enact community right to know ordinances by setting out minimum reporting and posting requirements uniform across the state. As currently written, House Bill 647 no longer requires municipalities to enact programs, but rather sets up uniform, standardized state guidelines should they choose to do so. Provides for a statewide placarding system. It was felt by the Community and Regional Affairs Committee that if the state was not going to require all municipalities to participate, it was important to at least require those who handle hazardous substances to post warning placards. House Bill 647 does not include transportation. This issue is being addressed in House Bills 672 and 673. It also does not include the everyday person who has a few containers of gas and paint in the garage. The bill excludes quantities that do not pose significant public danger or threaten the safety of emergency responders. I would like to point out that there is currently no comprehensive list or systemic method available for people in this state to identify the use or storage of toxic or hazardous chemicals. Research evidence implies that the true magnitude of hazardous substance problem in Alaska is quite serious. One just needs to consider the hydrochloric spill in the middle of Fairbanks, the chlorine episode in Kodiak over the weekend, and of course the recent Moose Pass incident. Unless the names and hazardous properties of chemicals in a community are publicly available, government officials charged with protecting property and public health are left virtually blindfolded, waiting for a crisis to occur. The actual cost of this ignorance can actually be much higher than the price of implementing a local community right to know law. And then you have a summary of what a fact sheet, what is community right to know, and so forth in the packets, and the responsibilities. There's some other things that we'll get to later. I would like to have the Department of Labor person here speak at this time.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. My name is Eileen Clayton, and I'm with the Department of Labor. The Department of Labor, of course, doesn't have an active role in the implementation of House Bill 647, but we did want to offer our support since it does provide for those municipalities that would embark upon their community right to know programs, it does provide an opportunity for their emergency response personnel to have knowledge and to be better able to equip their workers when they are responding to an emergency involving intoxicating hazardous substances or things of that nature. And right now, I guess we feel that this bill fills a void that exists right now in that regard. While we have a right to know program in the Department of Labor with respect to workers at an establishment that they know what toxic and hazardous substances are there and what they need to do to protect themselves. If there would be a spill or an accident at that workplace, the emergency response personnel, they aren't privy necessarily to that information in order that they know how to protect themselves when they're combating the spill, cleanup, or whatever it would be. And from that perspective, the Department of Labor would offer its support of 647.
Are there any questions? Thank you very much for coming. Is there someone here from Department of Health and Social Services?
My name is David Bruce. I'm with the Department of Health and Social Services Division of Public Health. The Department of Health and Social Services does support this bill for several reasons. We feel that it will allow the municipalities to be aware of hazardous substances that are within their boundaries and locations, that they can do some pre-planning for emergencies that undoubtedly will occur. We feel this pre-planning will help minimize injuries to and possibly deaths to fire and police personnel as well as EMTs by virtue of the fact that they know ahead of time before they respond to an emergency that there are hazardous substances in the building or in the area that they're responding to. And three, that the placarding requirement will help inform the public as a whole that there are hazardous substances in the building and hopefully will convince them if they wish to stay away from that sort of thing that they'll have that opportunity. We particularly like the aspect of a statewide standard for the placarding so that we don't have 20 different kinds of placarding in 20 different towns. That's basically our position.
Thank you. Does anyone have any questions, Mr. Bird? Thank you very much for coming here. Division of Fire Prevention and Public Safety, Gordon Bruton.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'm Deputy State Fire Marshal Gordon Brunton, representing the Department of Public Safety. I would like to apologize to you and the members of the committee for not having a position paper prepared for the committee substitute. However, as I testified several weeks ago on the original version of the bill, the department supports the concept, and we feel with the proposed revisions that we can manage the program effectively. I would be repeating the previous speaker's remarks relative to the uniform framework by which the reporting can be achieved, and I think it's a very positive step to deal with a very hazardous environment we're living in today. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Representative Cato.
In the fact that there are some national identifying placards for various hazardous waste, would it be in the implementation of this to use the same ones?
Madam Chairman, yes, Representative Cato, we don't believe that it would be necessary to reinvent the wheel. And we are, I believe, required by the bill to work with the Department of Labor and Environmental Conservation in developing those placards. A task force on hazardous materials in Anchorage has suggested that for the larger communities, a very generic, simple placard that might just state hazardous materials on an orange background might be sufficient to achieve what they need to accomplish there, rather than some of either the DOT or the National Fire Protection Association standard placards. So, yes, in essence, we don't want to invent something new. I think we can live with what are available out there right now.
Thank you, Betty. I'm glad to hear that you think that the fiscal note is coming down, too, so that...
Well, it's just rumor, Madam Chairman.
We'll be glad to have...
We'll know for sure tomorrow.
That it's not going to be, since we don't require, that makes it a little easier for us to get the fiscal note. We do have a committee substitute that was being drafted that isn't here yet, but we'll have it tomorrow for... That's the one, I think you have seen that latest one, haven't you?
No, I haven't.
Well, I think it's just a few changes from the CNRA that I wanted to clear up. If there are no further questions, then Mr. Hungerford from DEC.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. My name is Stan Hungerford. I am supervisor of the Air and Hazardous Waste and Solid Waste section in the Department of Environmental Conservation Division of Environmental Quality. As the previous speakers have indicated, this bill does fill a certain void. The Department of Environmental Conservation is responsible for management of hazardous wastes, and the Department of Labor is responsible for hazardous materials in the workplace. This Community Right to Know bill provides emergency response people an ability to understand where hazardous materials, and in this case hazardous waste also, are stored or anything else. The department also has not revised the previous comments that we had written to reflect the changes made by Community and Regional Affairs. However, we worked with them during the development of a number of those changes and basically are supportive of the fact that they had made the program optional for municipalities, and the fact that placarding is a uniform mandatory exercise across the state relieves a lot of confusion that could be created. The department is also, of course, involved in commenting on a number of other bills that are related, interrelated, filling various voids because of the relationships between the various things that are being regulated and also the various agencies involved in those regulations. I believe that this bill is essentially quite satisfactory from our point of view. However, we do still have a couple of comments to make. The bill as drafted currently establishes a reporting mechanism that a municipality may establish. The department has commented that it is conceivable that the bill may want to be revised. You may want to revise the bill to indicate that a lot of information is available under the federal regulations on hazardous waste generation, storage, management, and so forth. Facilities that must have permits under hazardous waste programs will be required to provide manifests to the agency which indicate all of the waste that they are shipping. There will be contingency plans and so forth that must be submitted in order to obtain a permit. So perhaps a batch of information will already be available from that source, and requiring a different way of getting similar information of a facility in a municipality may get to be excessive paperwork, but that's only a suggestion. The placarding, as I said, now that we understand that it's to be more simple and complex, we're really glad to see that. So some of our comments earlier would be revised on that. We are willing to continue working with your staff to make certain that the definitions that are appearing in the various bills are all sorted out so that the correct references to federal definitions and so forth are connected with the appropriate bills, since there are variations in those.
Yes, I was well aware of that, and I felt that was, in fact, I thought of asking for some of those bills to come through here to be sure, but I don't want to delay those bills any more than, and so we're working, staff's working with those other committees, because I do think that it's important that we have the same definitions in all of the bills.
From our point of view, the most important thing is that the English word that is being defined be separated if, in fact, there are going to be different variations between the definitions.
No, we're not.
And
we're trying.
This bill is okay on that one.
Yeah. Well, we're well aware of that, and we don't want to make it a burden on the public or on the agencies either. Does anyone have any questions of Mr. Hungerford? I think this bill coming up today was quite an accident that we would have 470 on the floor today. Everybody's right in the mood to discuss hazardous waste.
Yes,
or maybe we've discussed hazardous waste too much today, and that's why there aren't any questions.
We had
a wonderful
really
we had a statement from Representative Cato on their special orders today regarding the Moose Pass incident, and I think probably the bill comes up very timely today. Anyone else have questions?
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Hartford. We have the mayor of Palmer, who is, happens to be in town today. Mayor Carte would like to testify.
Thank you. I'm also first vice president of the Municipal League, and Tim was here, and I noticed he just stepped out, so the Municipal League's also taken a stand on this question and has a policy on it. But in the city of Palmer, we're much in favor of this ordinance. The most of our communities operate with volunteer fire departments, volunteer emergency aid people, and they're excellent. They're outstanding. They are well trained, but yet they need some help. And you know, we've seen cases where even professionals have responded and had a great deal of difficulty. We had an emergency exercise in the Matsu Borough about 4 years ago. The State Division of Emergency Services took a scenario of a derailed tank car in downtown Wasilla, with the tracks running right through the shopping malls, and you know, they dumped this on the table before us, and what do you do? Well, our first problem, of course, was to identify what gas was coming out of this derailed tank car, and you know, there was almost, you know, I could almost see it around the table. We almost had immediate panic around the table because we couldn't get the information on what we were dealing with, and so people immediately just started running off in every direction trying to deal with it. Well, you know, if they would have told us what we had to deal with, and we could have gotten a manual, you know, it would have eliminated that initial panic situation. So I think this, in one respect, it seems like such a simple thing, but I think it's very important. In Palmer in particular, we're trying to develop an industrial base there to broaden our tax base. One of the things we're looking for is warehousing. We're on the Glen Highway. We have an excellent airport. We're on the railroad. And we're looking for warehousing-type operations. Well, all kinds of things could be stored there. And again, our local volunteers would be responsible for what might happen in these situations. So I think this labeling is certainly important, and I like the uniformity aspect of it. I like the idea that it's permissive to the communities. And I really think this will benefit us, benefit my community in particular, but I think most communities around the state would benefit from this the way it's being proposed. And thank you very much for this chance to testify.
Just a moment, I have a couple of questions. Representative Boucher.
Madam Chair, one of the things that happened in the tragedy recently, or the potential tragedy in the Seward area, the tank cars had an 800 number on it. Hmm. And somebody tried to dial that 800 number, and no good. Somewhere, as we label, there ought to be a phone number for people to call. It ought to really stand out, and no 800 numbers to companies that you can't get through to. And that may sound kind of funny, but the operator says, sorry. So that's leading us on the House Special Committee on Telecommunication to say, hey, we want equal parity in 800 numbers throughout the country. I don't quite know what it's going to take, but we in Alaska should be able to dial an 800 number at a moment. But in that particular case, there are telephone numbers on them. And I'm sure you thought of that, Madam Chair, but maybe at 11 o'clock at night, and stuff starts leaking, and there ought to be a number that somebody can call. Is that a subject that's been addressed in the labeling part of it?
Well, I think that's something that we don't need in the legislation, but it certainly is something that whoever, maybe fire prevention or maybe DEC will be in developing the need for having a crisis place that we could get. Representative Collins?
I apologize for being late. Maybe this was covered before I came into the room. I'm curious about the placards. They shall post the placards provided by the Department of Public Safety Division of Fire Protection in accordance with regulations adopted by the department in this section. Do we have any idea what the placard says?
That's what we were talking about earlier, that it's something that we're going to develop with the Fed. The Feds already have a placard, and Anchorage is already developing a placard, and we hope, well, maybe you could answer that, Gordon, but I think that it would be a very simple, eye-catching placard. Go ahead, Gordon. I can't say, but we left it up to the agency to develop it, but that it be, that we not reinvent what is already maybe being done on the federal level, but make it so that it's something that people are used to noticing, that that means watch out. You want to comment on that, Gordon?
Sure, Madam Chairman. Right now, there are two nationally recognized types of placards. One developed by Department of Transportation, which provides a diagrammatic picture and a few very simple words, such as flammable gas or oxidizer or organic peroxide. And normally it's a diamond shape. Then there's the National Fire Protection Association system, which are actually four little small diamonds made into one big one. And each one of those four diamonds within the major one has a number in it, which tells you its degree of flammability, its degree of toxicity, whether or not to use water on the product if it's involved in a fire or an emergency spill. And I can't remember what the other is. But anyway, the concept was to either use those or use those in a small community that may need, their emergency services folks might need that little bit of additional information than just the simple placard proposed by the Anchorage Task Force, which was a plain diamond, orange background, and the words hazardous material.
Yeah, that's correct. We need for some of the smaller communities something with more detail because they don't have a system going, and so there probably will be two different kinds of placards. But this, we wanted to keep it uniform and still protect the people who are not as sophisticated out in the rural part of the state. Any other questions? Thank you, Mayor Carte.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else here who wishes to testify? We had planned to. We've had a lot of requests around the state, so we were having a teleconference tomorrow. So unless there's some other folks who wish to testify today, if you feel the need, I could go through some of the bill. But we do have a committee substitute that just arrived, so I would like to present that tomorrow. Then we could adopt that and have the Representative Collins.
I have one more question. We already have the employee's right to know law, which requires that employers let employees know what hazardous materials they're dealing with. And I'm wondering if we need a whole separate piece of legislation to accomplish this in. I mean, the information is already out there. I thought that that part of that whole bill was to provide a cataloging of the other law was to provide a cataloging of hazardous materials.
There is, but there is no way that material, that information is getting out to the public. This is not just for workers, but that's it doesn't get to the people who are actually the firefighters and the public who are driving by a building and so forth.
I want to reiterate what you're saying. In the Department of Labor, those placards would probably be posted on the inside of the building in their work area or their working conditions. Mm-hmm. These placards would be out in view of the public so that the public would know. Mm-hmm. Like, say, a fence going around someplace, and right in the middle of the fence is your diamond placard that tells you that hazardous materials are stored in that area. Mm-hmm. Or on a building or something like that. So somebody driving by and living in that community but not necessarily working there.
Mm-hmm. I looked into all of that before we wrote this bill, whether that it was something that we could just amend that, but it was not going to accomplish what is really needed, and that is the actual the municipalities and the communities finding out what is really there in the community. If there's nothing else to cut, and if you have no further questions at this time, although if you wish, I could go through the major provisions of the bill if you would like. It sounds like everybody.
People are ready to get out of here.
They're very happy to have a short meeting today. I can see that. Okay, with that, we will recess till tomorrow at 3:00. Thank you very much. Recess at 3:00.